Dame and G Show, brought to you by Anchor.fm, your one-stop shop for podcast needs. Find me on social media, DamianG347 on Twitter, as well as Damian G Show on Instagram. And if you've been following the show for a while, you know that it seems over the last few months, I kind of take things that I discuss with my clients. For those who are new here, I am a life coach, a certified life coach, a counselor, a therapist, and the like. And my clients do know when they sign up with me that there is a potential for me to discuss not them per se, but a topic that we're working on or an issue we're working on, but I will never identify them. And they know this and they're okay with this for means of communication with, let's say, you all, or if I want to take it to YouTube or any other kind of distribution of content, they are well aware that this is something that's going to happen. So what I'm going to do right now is kind of lay the groundwork for you about a client issue that has brought up a bigger talking point that me and a few other people have got into the last couple of days, maybe the last week or so. And that is something called situationships. It's like relationships that have a specific situation attached to them. Whereas you're with someone or you're dating somebody or you're seeing someone, but you're not with them because you really want to be with them anymore or even at the beginning. It's just you're in that motion, you're in that circle and that cycle of things are being done on behalf of the relationship or people are contributing something for the relationship, but you're not really feeling fulfilled, or it's not even an official relationship, it's more transactional. Now that's something that's kind of been coming up a lot for a few people that I talk to, and I figured, hey, now is a good time as any to discuss my personal views on situationships. So again, any Damian G show that doesn't have a guest is usually my own interpretation or my thoughts on a particular topic or even things that I've experienced. Do you want to throw that out there? I'm not a genius. I don't know everything. I'm just going off of the information I was given and things I've seen in my own life and my own development and my clients' development. So now that that disclaimer is out of the way, let me just say, I have seen situationships my entire life, and there wasn't a name for it. There wasn't a classification, and I know situationships isn't an official name, but that is the name that a lot of people use to describe their agreements, their relationship agreements. You can go all the way back to the nuclear family of gender norms or gender roles, where back in my parents' days, and a lot of our parents and grandparents and so on and so forth, everybody had a role. You got something out of it. The housewife stayed, cleaned, cooked, took care of the kids. The husband went out and worked. That was a situation. That was an agreement. That was transactional. So if we're talking broad spectrum, maybe the only add-on for that was the fact that there was actual love and caring and cariño in the relationship at the time. But as time goes on, a lot of us can attest to this, if we've been in enough long-term relationships or even the situationships, where it stops being about the relationship and more about some sort of partnership. And I don't mean partnership as, hey, I got your back, you got mine. It is strictly transactional, as I said before. Strictly, I do something for you or you do something for me, and then I do something else in return to make it fair or make it even, or I'm getting something out of the relationship or the arrangement, and you yourself are okay with what you're giving me, and I have accepted that what you're giving me or I'm giving you, vice versa, is okay for this. We're okay to work within this framework. So case in point, I'll never forget this. There was an episode, and I can bring this all the way back to my parents because I could speak to this, but I remember one of my favorite shows growing up, not even growing up, over the last maybe 20 years, was How I Met Your Mother. Now, clown me all you want for liking How I Met Your Mother, but there were some gems in that, in the writing of that show, that kind of let you think, oh, this isn't just a situational comedy. There's some things you can take from this. And one of them was having people on the hook. There was an episode called The Hook where there's a potbelly pig. It's all cute and adorable. A teacup pig. And people saying, hey, I don't want to be with you right now. Go watch it. Then there's The Settler versus The Reacher. It's a whole episode on people you have on the hook because you're getting something out of it. All the characters go through it, from ex-boyfriends who are just hanging on to people you have waiting in the wings that you can't date them right now, as I wink to the non-existent camera. Those are all situationships. So I could take it all the way back to my parents, who I've talked about on the show before, who I love dearly, but I will be the first to admit, I will not fake the funk. My parents are the living embodiment of a situationship where my dad works, even though he's in his mid-80s, even though he has declining health. My mom takes care of the house because my mom hasn't had a job probably since 1999, if my numbers are correct. Mind you, they will tell you they can't stand one another. But because my mom lives under my dad's roof, my dad gives my mom money, and they have the whole thing working, and that's what they've done since before I was born, when my older brothers were around as children. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. But that is a prime example of a situationship. And I didn't realize, see, what people like to code it as, oh, that's what relationships were back in grandpa and grandma's days. And I say, okay, so they were together just for circumstances, just for situationals, because they couldn't survive without the other person, supposedly. And that's something that really rubs me the wrong way now that I'm at the age I'm at, and I haven't been able to look at relationships that I've been in where I was in a situationship years ago. I was in a situationship, and I'm sure my ex would feel the same way. And we were in a situationship after the breakup where I was nesting. I'll be honest, I was nesting, staying with her and living with her, kind of doing the boyfriend-girlfriend thing, even though we were no longer together. I don't, you know, the companionship thing, we hang out, but there's nothing else there. And this is college, Damien. This is right after college. So if anyone who knows me from college, they probably know who I'm talking about, and I'm sure this person would actually feel the same way, that I was providing some sort of situation to help them, and vice versa. But I've seen it. I've lived it. And let me tell you, in retrospect, it makes me sick to my stomach to think that I actually did something like this, where I put my value in, I can't do it alone. This isn't really what I want. This situation, I'll just say that, isn't what I want, but I'm going to stick it out. And mind you, I have no romantic connection to the said person. That's I think, where the line is. Or, as one of my clients has told me back in the day, they had a situationship with someone who they didn't really like, but they liked them when they were younger, not as they are currently constituted or were currently constituted at that time. It just didn't work. On paper, it didn't work for them. When they talked it out with me, it didn't work. And when I kept asking, okay, but you have a choice. You have a choice to stay in the situation. And there wasn't any physical abuse or anything like that. Now, again, for those who just tuned into the Damien G Show, I wouldn't be sharing this if they weren't okay with me talking about it. So they were in a situationship or relationship or whatever it is, where how they broke it down for me is one person was the nester. They came in to the house. They contributed to the house by cooking, massages, doing their performing chores, and being overall almost like an in-house servant. While what the other person was getting, my client was getting, was companionship, physical touch, and things like that. But whenever I kept asking, okay, but you're not happy about this, what are you doing? The response would always be, well, it could be worse. It's not that bad. They're justifying it by saying, oh, it could be worse. how worse could it be? You'd be by yourself and on your own and being single and doing it for yourself. Now, I know this client really well, and they are one of the most independent outside of relationships. When they're single, they are one of the most independent people. But they once they're in it, the rigmarole of companionship, and while I have no other interests, no one's interested in me outside of this person, so, and I have a history with them, I'm going to give them a shot, even though they don't want to be with said person. They just like what the person can do for them. And I'm sure if I did it the other way around and I talked to the other party, they would say, hey, I have a roof over my head. All I got to do is literally give massages or cook or this, that, and a third, and I have my base needs taken care of. And even now, just talking to you guys and girls out loud, me formulating this makes me think, oh, shit. This is one of those things where people are doing it for their base needs to be covered. You know, Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And it's scary. Holy shit, it is scary to actually think about that people actually do this. Because for whatever reason, loneliness, sadness, I need someone to help me around the house. It'd be nice if somebody did my laundry. Oh, it's nice to cook for someone or just to split bills. Now, I've never understood that one. I've never understood if you've never really been romantically inclined with someone and you don't have a two-bedroom situation and you sleep in the same bedroom, I'm sure people have done it. It doesn't register for me to have a roommate situation like that. And I could go back to, like I was saying before, where in college, my ex and I, we stopped dating, but we still acted like a couple. And in retrospect, like I said before, poor Damien. What were you thinking, dude? What were you doing? Now, I know that says a lot about me, Damien the person back then versus me, Damien now, which I wouldn't do. But I get why a lot of us get stuck in those things, because it's a sense of comfort. It's a sense of stability. It gives us some semblance of, okay, this person, while not perfect, while not someone I want to really be with, they are good enough for the situation. And I'm sorry, that doesn't jive with me. That just doesn't work. If I'm going to ever get into a relationship, the last thing I want to do before getting into said relationship is think, I wonder what it would be like to split bills with this person. Because when we date, we often say, okay, what does person X bring to the table? That's what happens usually when people try to date eventually, and then they try to, I guess, what's the term? I was going to say go steady like I'm from 1965, but make things legitimate, or I don't know the phrase. I'm just forgetting it at this point. Making it an actual relationship as opposed to courtship. And I don't even know if people use the word courtship anymore. But when you get to that next level of the relationship, of the relationship Mario Brothers game, you get to level 2 where, okay, this person and I are going to move in together. We are going to balance out the responsibilities. We are going to balance out the bills, per se. So people are literally acting like our parents and grandparents back in the day after they got married, before they get married. For a myriad of reasons, mostly financial, let's be honest here, and a little bit more probably just because of the companionship and the togetherness that I spoke of earlier. But it boggles my mind that, is it almost symbiotic where one, like my parents, for instance, one can't live without the other, or one can't progress without the other. I love you, Mom, but you're a nester. You are a nester. I've seen you do it. I've seen her do it with my brothers. I've seen her try to move in with my brothers. They took her in years ago because my mom didn't want to live alone. And she didn't have my dad kind of at the power teat. And I'm not just lambasting her. My dad has his own flaws as well. But I've seen it where my mom has constantly tried to live with my other brothers. And then when she moves in with them, she tries to dominate the household as if she is almost married to my brothers, or treats them as if you know, they're 12. And my mom's tried that on me, and I gleefully have told her no. Even to the point where I remember, and I just told this story the other day, where my mom, after graduate school, was trying to figure out where I lived, and I didn't tell my parents where I lived for 4 years after college. Nobody knew. No one knew where I was living. I didn't give anyone my home address because I didn't want to run the risk of the freeloader mindset of once they get in, getting them out like squatters is going to be really difficult. And I was met with a lot of anger and vitriol and, oh, you forgot about your family. The guilt, you know, parental guilt, familial guilt, things like that. And to be quite honest, I've never cared. It didn't faze me. My mom even tried to make me feel guilty and my father feel guilty because she was living in our group property over in Puerto Rico at the time. And our family dog had passed away. But my mom did not know my father and I were residing together. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because after my dog passed away, my mom, who has been known to just show up like an unwanted relative that you don't want to have over for Thanksgiving dinner, and then tell my father, well, figure it out, where we're going to live. I'm sorry, what? So she decided to come, and I felt guilty because my mom had blamed my father and I for our family dog passing away in Puerto Rico because of the heat. Oh, if it wasn't for you all not letting me know where you lived, she wouldn't have died. My dad caved. I didn't cave. It's that guilt stuff. So I bring this up only to say once my mom moved back in, I was right on my way out. And ever since then, my mom, all this talk about both my parents now, both of my parents have gotten to the point of they both want to leave each other, but they're too afraid to do it. So they're going to be stuck with each other for the duration of their life. I want no part of it. And I've talked about this on the show. I've talked about it where my parents are begging me to come back to New York. No, I don't want to be a part of your situationship. I'm good. I'd rather struggle on my own. I'd rather fight on my own. I'd rather scratch and claw to get where I need to go on my own than go back to that circus. Now, I'm sure a lot of us who are in relationships or used to be in relationships will take a step back at some point and say, do I really love this person anymore? Do I really want to be with this person anymore? Or are they just a roommate? Is it just a situationship at this point? And I know plenty of people currently in relationships who secretly don't want to admit it out loud that they are in a situationship, but they are. Because of what reason that I mentioned before, kids? Stability. Because there's a balancing. It's not even about love and romance and all the other BS that people tell us about in terms of relationships. It just works out because that is what people want to do. They want to live in the comfort and stability of, oh, I have this person that's going to come home and we're going to have dinner and be like 97 years old when you're 32. See, that's the problem where you give your power away, your individual power away, and then you throw it to the universe saying, well, it could be worse. So you have a freeloader living in your house right now, and pardon the inflection change, everybody. You have a freeloader living in your house right now. Maybe they came to live with you maybe about 2 months ago. And lo and behold, yeah, at first it was cool. Oh, they were helping with laundry. Oh, that's great. Oh, they were doing, they were making the bed for me in the morning. Oh, they were whatever, acting as if it was a partnership, a romantic relationship, when in reality they were, as How I Met Your Mother also put it, banging for roof. I implore people, go back and watch some of these episodes, or I'm sure other sitcoms have talked about it, but it's only more prevalent now for me because I have taken so many lessons from this show as an avid fan of How I Met Your Mother. But it's true. You're banging for roof. Maybe you don't want to have sex with the person, but could be worse. I've had sex with worse people, is what one client once told me. I've had sex with worse. At least I have my needs taken care of. Or on the other hand, I asked one person, why are you nesting with this person if you don't even like them as a human? Well, they're okay. They like some of the stuff I do. They make me feel good about myself. My ego feels good. So I'm going to stick it out. That's where we're at now. That is where we are at now in terms of dating. That is where we are in terms of our day-to-day human interactions. Just get a roommate. There's Roomster. Go on there. Go on Creepy Craigslist. Find a roommate. You don't have to stay in a situationship just because you feel bad about telling the person they got to go, or you feel bad about abandoning or leaving the person. If you're not happy, go. Don't do it to yourselves and don't do it to the other person. Really analyze your relationships. And I want to bring it back to the beginning again and say, I want you all to really analyze your relationships. If you're in a situationship or a friends with benefit, is the benefit worth the struggle? Is the juice worth the squeeze, as the old adage would say? Do you really like this person? Do you really like yourself being in this situation? Where's your power? Why'd you give it away? Why can't you stand on your own 2 feet? What else is there that's stopping you from doing it? These are questions I've had. These are questions I have worked with clients before. And more often than not, it's lack of confidence. It's not wanting to take that risky step. It's, as I said before, staying stable, not rocking the boat, not seeing what else is out there. It could be worse. And those are some of the reasons. And I'm sure there are plenty more. But for me, the kind of person I am now, I have learned that it's not fair to keep somebody on the hook because, A, you're getting a benefit out of it that they themselves don't want or don't like, but they're sticking around for you because they're waiting for you to come around. Or if you're willingly, I'm going to say it, if you're whoring yourself out for the sake of roof, banging for roof, is that something you really want? You okay with that? That's not my place to tell you whether or not it's okay. I'm just saying, ask yourself that question. If you are the nester, ask yourself the question, is it worth it? If you're the person allowing the nester in your home because you're lonely, ask yourself the question if it's worth it. And I want all of you out there listening to the Damon G Show on Anchor, are you in any of these camps that I described? Are you settling? Are you nesting? Could it not be worse? Are you in any of these camps? Do you have any of these excuses if you are in a situationship where you're going to hold on for dear life and do what you have to do to make sure you have your base needs taken care of? I'll never forget Superman Returns. One of the opening scenes, and if you haven't seen it, it's the one with Brandon Routh as Superman. Lex Luthor is literally stringing around this rich older woman before she kicks the bucket, kind of like a con artist. Yes, like a con artist, not even kind of. Until she writes him in the will. He gets all her fortune when she passes. And the minute she passes, he flips the switch. And he did it just to get his fortune back. I know it's a over-dramatized way of looking at it, but that's what it is. So on a smaller scale, as I implored you before, go back and analyze your relationships or any of the situationships you may or may not be in. Wink, wink. If it's not something you really want to be a part of, what are you so afraid of? What's stopping you? What's the limiting belief? What's the fear? What's the worry? So I'm curious. Anyone, let me know. As always, these mini casts are something I like discussing. Good talking points with my inner circle, with my people and my friends. And I just do this to engage in conversation. Please let me know your thoughts. If you're in a situationship, why is it working out for you? Why do you want to stay there? Please reach out to me on Twitter, DamonG347, as well as on Instagram, The Damon G Show. And you can email me at Mr.DamonG@gmail.com. And that is Mr.DamonG@gmail.com. And we can have the discussion there if you want. And as always, I want to thank you all so much from the bottom of my heart to you. Without you, there is no me. Please, everybody, let's not try to be dicks. Let's try to be good to each other. And let's try to realize when we are at fault, we own our stuff. We just own up to it. So find the show, on multiple streaming platforms, Anchor.fm, also Spotify, SoundCloud, and the like, Apple Podcast. Rate, share, subscribe, and I'll talk to you soon.